Unless you speak Russian, the word Mississippi is probably the only one you could pick out of that lyric. The language of the blues, though, is universal, and it is spoken today all over the former Soviet Union. Blues music began to take hold just before the fall of the communist system. Now Moscow clubs regularly draw crowds in to hear King Biscuit, Crossroads, and the Stainless Steel Blues Band. Michael Urban is the co-author of Russia Gets the Blues, Music, Culture, and Community in Unsettled Times. He's a political science professor at the University of Santa Cruz, and he joins us from station KAZU in Pacific Grove, California. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Leanne. Very nice to be with you.
Now, the roots of blues music are in the American South and the experience of the slaves. Tell us about how it compares to the American roots of the music.
Well, their first exposure to blues music is blues is produced in Britain during the 60s and 70s. Rolling Stones, Eric Clapton, people like that. And so this for them is a kind of variety of rock and roll. And not a lot of attention during the communist period was paid to blues per se. It was just kind of a very powerful and interesting kind of rock and roll, this blues rock from Britain. At the time, there's this massive rock scene in the USSR, that is during the 80s, late 80s in particular, when there was something like 160,000 rock and roll bands in the USSR. Fantastic figure. And blues is being played by a few of these guys, and it's being played in this kind of rockish variant. When communism is over, so is rock and roll. There is no longer this thing against which we protest, and the music loses really all of its steam and breaks down into all kinds of different subgenres. And out of that mix, blues, per se, tends to precipitate and become an identifiable form performed by groups who focus on blues and for audiences that are keen to hear blues and not something else.
When I first met you, thought you would be mine. But some days later, you was telling me a lie. That's why I'm walking and crying. You don't love me no more.
Why are so many of the songs written in English?
I think it has to do with, if we're going to preserve the authenticity of the music, that means we are going to mimic and reproduce that sound as closely as possible. And so I think that the first reason is just that. Authenticity demands the sound authentic. The second reason, I think, is that Russian does not necessarily lend itself well to the blues form, where we have short verses using very trimmed words, whereas Russian seems to be very polysyllabic and, by comparison, almost awkward in its grammatical constructions. So those few people who have managed to write some decent blues in Russian have labored long and hard with poets advising them as to how they might find short words and how they might achieve as much as possible of an English kind of sound while using Russian.
Помню, как-то давно мне приснился чудесный сон. Будто ветром судьбы я в Чикаго был занесен. И будто встретился мне Мадди Уотерс в тот день, когда он записал свой Rolling Stone.
You know, the blues has a specific musical form, and, you know, a couple of chords, and we usually have a guitar. And then, you know, people are trying to get over something bad that happened to them. Is that the case in Russia?
Yeah. It's not the lowest elements of society by any means who have embraced the blues. It's the middle class, young professionals, intellectuals, university students, people who have access, you might say, to this foreign idiom. Most people don't. These people have the blues, too, in their own way. And they find in this music a kind of release. And their music is really an expression about their own experiences, but also I think the collective experience of what this transition from communism has meant for most people. In the same way that blues singers in our country spoke about the transition from slavery, the blues man really is a bard, and he speaks for society.
What is the collective, then, sort of consciousness after the fall of communism that is being expressed in this music?
I think that it's channeled into this blues idiom, which is basically saying that liberation has been an unbelievable disappointment and that we have all kinds of unanticipated problems and conditions that threaten us in every respect.
How did you get interested in this form of music in Russia?
I've been a blues fan myself since college, and I played, you know, amateur guitar for a few times off and on in bands. And so when I heard Russians playing this music, I said to myself, wow, this is wonderful. These guys are embracing our music, not knowing that we had surrendered claim to this music a long time ago, and it's by now it's certainly a world music that the Russians are participating in. When I returned after teaching for a couple of months in Petersburg, having met blues people over there and hung out with them, I got the idea of why not actually attempt to do some research on this subject.
You co-wrote the book with Andrei Yevdokimov, who created a radio program back in 1987 called This Blues. What's his propaganda? What's the gospel he preaches?
Oh, the gospel he preaches is that blues music should not be confined to any particular form of blues music. There should not be any color lines in blues music. Blues music is a music that involves people, both performers and their audiences, in an emotional experience. It's happy music. It's music that overcomes trouble and sorrow. Let the good times roll. That's his propaganda.
Школьницы мелькают, там и тут они меняются прикидами и фенечки. Этот я ненавижу девочек.
How would you describe the blues community in Russia? Start with the musicians. Is it a sort of scattered group, or are there, regulars like King Biscuit, for example, that they have a following?
I would say that most of the blues bands that I've encountered resemble what the Soviets used to call the collective, that is a collective of workers, people in the same occupation, who live in face-to-face relations and attempt to do something jointly and with some kind of creative impulse behind it. So blues bands, I think, have adopted, maybe unconsciously, that kind of form of organization. A lot of blues bands stay together for 10, 15, 20 years or more. This is rather unheard of, I think, in other places. And the relationships among the members tend to be more thick. That is, they're more like families than like functional music-making units.
When the fans line up at the blues clubs, are they expecting enlightenment?
No, I don't think so. I mean, certainly there are some people who come to hear a certain band because they know they play a certain type of blues that they've never heard played live before and so on and so forth. But more often is the case that individuals come to drink some beer, to have a night out, listen to some music, and dance. There is, among blues players, a feeling that music is being polluted in Russia, that their popular music, which is called popsa, very dreadful stuff, I can add, is sort of just taking over like a kind of weed, and all the wonderful flowers that used to be in the garden are being driven out. So it's their aim to kind of defend their patch and to keep the weeds out and to preserve this blues music as a, how would you say, a pure and recognizable form. And they regard this as a definite struggle.
Michael Urban is co-author of Russia Gets the Blues, published by Cornell University Press. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Leanne. I enjoyed it.
This This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from David Rector, Elaine Heinzman, Jesse Baker, and Dustin Dwyer. Our technical director is Burke Hahn, with audio engineer Ted Mebane. Key Molesky is our reference librarian. And today, we want to remember Connie Drummer. From 1974 until 1993, Connie worked as an editorial assistant for NPR, including for several years on this program. On September 1st, Connie passed away in Bethesda, Maryland. She was 74 years old. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.